Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man. Two for Tuesday. Two Tuesdays. Two of them. Nick DiGilio here. You want to get your two for Tuesday requests in. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. Lou requested some Wilson Pickett. That's Land of a Thousand Dances. It's a jam. It's no Ice House. Hey, welcome back to the show, everyone. Ice House Central is this new show on WGN. And we're going to be talking about some celebrities that you may have forgotten actually appeared on Family Ties and some very special episodes of TV. You know, where like a sitcom or a show takes on a very serious topic and they would always advertise them as very special episodes. Esmeralda, do you remember any very special episodes where they took on a controversial topic?
The only one that really comes to mind is the Different Strokes episode.
Yep. That episode was, you know what the title of that episode was?
What?
The Bicycle Man.
Oh, gosh. That sounds frightening.
Here's the, I watched this episode, and I remember this episode, and thought it was very, very odd. But here's the description of the episode. The issue that it took on as a very special episode was child molestation.
Mm-hmm.
The creepy Mr. Horton, played, by the way, by Gordon Jump. So right there, for those of you who are WKRP fans, that's Mr. Carlson. Mr. Carlson is the creepy bicycle man. That's Mr. Carlson. He swears to God he didn't know turkeys couldn't fly. It's Mr. Carlson. As God is my witness. It was Gordon Jump. So Gordon Jump plays Mr. Horton, and he plies Arnold and Dudley, Dudley's Arnold's friend, with pizza, wine, and comic books, which quickly turns into watching, quote-unquote, kinky cartoons and playing a shirtless game of Tarzan. Fortunately, Arnold's conscience gets the better of him, and the police are able to rescue Dudley from Mr. Horton's apartment, presumably just in the nick of time. What?
Oh, okay. See, I always thought something happened, and I'm like, oh my gosh. So now his friends, like, that's a whole set of issues.
Yeah. But it does say presumably just in the nick of time. Because he is in the apartment alone with Mr. Carlson from WKRP.
Oh, and you know Dudley's not going to talk.
No
way. He's not going to talk about it.
I always just thought it was just watching Gordon Jump in that if you're a fan of KRP. I don't know. Did you ever watch KRP, Esmeralda?
Yeah.
You can't. I don't want Mr. Carlson doing that. That's not what I want.
You don't want anyone doing that.
No, I know.
That's quite.
But casting him?
Oh, my gosh. That's a bit of a. It's a really heavy special episode.
Yeah. Here's the thing. On KRP, here's the weird thing about KRP. I was always a Bailey guy, not a Jennifer guy. I liked Bailey more than Jennifer. Most people like Lonnie Anderson. I like Jan Smithers. So that's where I'm a weirdo, I guess. I always preferred Bailey. Well, I was always Mary Jane over... Ginger, Marianne. I was always Marianne over Ginger on Gilligan's Island. So, okay, yeah, that's the one that a lot of people remember that one. And it was also another Different Strokes that Nancy Reagan was on. You remember that one?
Yeah, I saw that one.
Doing the don't do drugs because they're not good. What was the say? Oh, just say no.
Just say no. Dare to say no.
Dan, that struck you as funny?
I just like how you managed to say every word but the three words in a row. Literally developed for its simplicity.
Never. I know, it's just like, don't do drugs because they're bad. Was that the slogan? Yeah, so she was on as Nancy Reagan, right? She was playing Nancy Reagan.
Yeah.
And then they, don't do, say no to drugs. Say no to bicycle men, too. That's a quick one. All right. Here are some celebrities that have appeared on Family Ties. You may have forgotten about this. Are you ready? Did you watch Family Ties? Dan, you did, didn't you?
I did, yes.
And Esmeralda, did you watch The Ties That Are Familied?
Which one is that?
It's Michael J. Fox.
Okay. I've been watching
Justine Bateman.
I've watched a few recently, and I cannot stand Michael J. Fox. His character repulses me.
Okay, all right, okay. Because I was going to say, you were talking about Marty McFly.
No, he's adorable, but he is such a, he's such a misogynist. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, he was supposed to take the counter, you know, like, he was like the real conservative.
Right, but he was real skeevy.
Yeah.
He's too much.
Yeah, I never watched it. that was at a period of time when I was in my early 20s and I was out all the time and I wasn't watching TV, as opposed to now, I'm in my 50s and I don't leave the house and all I do is watch TV. But there was a time and I never watched Family Ties. What was the other one? Growing Pains? Spoons in Your Mouth?
Silver Spoons.
Right, Silver Spoons. All that stuff, that time period, I didn't watch anything. Watched a little bit of Roseanne. I remember I watched a little Roseanne. Not much.
Did you watch Mr. Belvedere?
No. Never seen an episode of Mr. Belvedere. Never seen an episode of... Mr. Belvedere's the one with... Front row. Yeah, Bob Uecker.
Yes.
And then never watched that. Spoon in My Mouth, I never watched. I got Growing Pains, I never watched that. What are some of the... Oh, Full House. Never watched Full House.
Well, I think those were geared more towards kids.
Yeah, but I knew people who were my age who were watching it at that time. Though, I mean, Family Ties was a huge show. That show was huge in the ratings. Okay, so in 1983, Judith Light appeared on Family Ties from Who's the Boss? Another show that I never watched. Who was the boss? Was it Tony Danza or was it Judith Light? Did they ever decide who the boss was?
I thought it was the sassy grandmother.
Catherine Hellman? From Soap and from Brazil.
That Community episode?
Yeah.
I think he figured it's... I think he says it's Judith.
Yeah, Judith Light, I believe. Gina Davis played an incompetent housekeeper named Karen. In 1984, she was on Family Ties. She was an incompetent housekeeper. Do you remember Gina Davis and Tootsie? Anybody remember Gina Davis and Tootsie?
Mm-mm.
She's one of the actresses on the soap opera, and she's the one who has to like share a dressing room with Dustin Hoffman, who's obviously, you know, everybody thinks is a woman. And she spends half the movie half naked. Just making Dustin Hoffman uncomfortable because he's got to share the dressing room with her. River Phoenix, the late teen heartthrob, was a precocious tutor for Alex, who developed a crush on Jennifer. Jennifer was Justine. No, that's Mallory. Mallory was Teeny Yothers was Jennifer. You remember any of these cameos?
I don't either.
Corey Feldman? He was a brainy student in season 4. Christina Applegate was on the show. She played a keyboard player in Jennifer's band. You know, Teeny Others is now like a rock star. Like, she's like a goth. Well, at least she was a few years ago. She's in a band that tours, and she's like a goth rock star now. She's got the black hair, the black lipstick, the eye makeup, all that stuff. Courtney Cox. Oh, well, people knew this one, right? This is how she got her, like, after the Brian De Palma, directed video. It's actually a Bruce Springsteen video, but after the Brian De Palma video, this is where she got her next step, right?
Right.
One of TV's most famous friends had a recurring role as Alex P. Keaton's girlfriend, psychology student Lauren. But didn't eventually Michael J. Fox's real-life wife end up as a girlfriend of his on the show?
I want to say you're right.
What the hell is his wife's name? Do you remember his wife's name?
Starts with a T.
Tracy?
Tracy Pollan?
Yes.
Yeah, I think she eventually played his girlfriend, like a serious girlfriend, towards the end of the series. Julia Louis-Dreyfus starred on Family Ties. She played Susan White, a lawyer hired by the Keatons to fight the school board after Jennifer is suspended. And then, last but not least, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Nearly a decade before his breakout role on Third Rock from the Sun, the actor appeared in two episodes as Dougie, a kindergarten classmate of baby brother Andrew. Would they had another baby?
Oh, yeah, they threw in another kid.
Of course they did. Yeah. That's the thing, right? Your show gets stale, bring in a cute kid. I just remember them doing that on, they did it on everything. They've done it on every show. But when they did it on Married with Children, I was so angry. And the kid, you remember the kid's name? Remember the kid's name on Married with Children?
Did he have like a noun for a name?
Seven.
No, that's right. Man, it's just some child abuse.
Esmeralda, were you old enough when Leo DiCaprio joined Growing Pains?
Probably, but I never watched Growing Pains.
Yeah.
So I didn't know about him.
I didn't know about Leo until I'm going to abuse you. I'm wearing a Cubs uniform, Robert De Niro. The Lost Boys. This boy's Lost Boys. This boy's life. Robert De Niro in the Cub Scout uniform smacking Leo DiCaprio around. That's when I first saw him. You guys see that movie? Have you seen This Boy's Life?
Yeah.
Oh my God, is DiCaprio good in that movie? I knew right then and there, like, well, who is this guy? Who is this kid? This kid's amazing. And then he follows that up with What's Eating Gilbert Grape? Good Lord, he can act. So, all right. What are we doing? We're breaking here for weather and traffic, and then we'll come back and talk about very special episodes of television. We already talked about The Bicycle Man, where Mr. Carlson is showing them kinky cartoons and feeding them pizza and wine? Seriously?
It was probably like really sweet wine.
On that episode, he gave the kids wine? Oh, my God.
Maybe wine coolers.
What, is he hanging out with Bartles and they're sitting on the porch with Bartles and James? What are we?
Well, no, because they're sweeter, so kids probably drink them.
Yeah. That's just wrong. Yeah. Hey, good morning, everybody. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, two for Tuesday. Lou's second request is Wilson Pickett, and that's in the midnight hour. 312-981-7200 for talking text and two for Tuesday. Requests. It's Nick DiGilio here. We're back here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Tuesday morning, 2 for Tuesday. And we're talking about very special episodes of shows. Do you remember some? 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Yeah, very special. Like we mentioned, The Bicycle Man, which was about child molestation and Different Strokes. The other Different Strokes one, which was about drug abuse, which starred Nancy Reagan with Don't Do Pot as the slogan. And here is Dwayne in McHenry on WGN. Hey, Dwayne.
Hey, how's it going, Nick?
All right.
Hey, there was a, speaking of Family Ties, Matthew Perry starred in an episode where he was, I think, Mallory's boyfriend, and his name was Sandy, and he died from internal injuries from an auto accident from drinking and driving.
Oh, boy.
I think it was a young Matthew Perry, but he still had that kind of plastic comedy persona. And
yeah.
Stuff. But,
wow.
You know, yeah, it was kind of like one of their powerful send a message episodes.
That's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. All right, I don't remember that one at all. Do you guys remember that? Dan, do you remember that?
You know, I did some Googling. It might have been a Growing Pains episode.
Oh.
But, yes. It.
Oh, really? I swore it was Family Ties.
Family Ties dealt with alcoholism with a pretty infamous episode, Dwayne. It's the one with Tom Hanks.
Yeah, I remember that one, too. Yeah.
Where Tom Hanks is...
I'll have to look that up. My bad, then.
He's the uncle. Tom Hanks is the uncle, and he's an alcoholic, and he's so desperate to get blitzed, he starts drinking vanilla extract.
Right.
So, all right, Dwayne, thanks.
All right, take care.
We'll find out if that's a Growing Pains or a Family Ties.
I think actually it's on our list.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Be the third page, I think, at the bottom, Second Chance.
Oh, that's it. There you go. It is a growing pains, Dwayne.
Okay, sorry about that.
Your mic's on. It's Second Chance is called Growing Pains. And when Goody Two-Shoes Carol sneaks out to hang out at a bar with her college boyfriend, Sandy, played by Matthew Perry, she learns a very serious lesson when Sandy has an accident while driving drunk. Although Carol apologizes to her parents for her poor judgment, Mike informs everyone that Sandy actually died. While Carol at first blames Mike for playing a sick joke, she cries hysterically asking, what happened to his second chance? Wow.
Jeez.
So, Esmeralda, you remember the Tom Hanks one, Family Ties?
I don't.
Oh, man.
I don't.
That I even remember that episode. A very special episode of Family Ties. Here's the plot description. Are you ready for this? Because these are really, like, these get a little heavy here. After embezzling $4.5 million from his last job, Uncle Ned, played by a pre-movie star Tom Hanks, shows up at the Keaton household hoping that Stephen can get him a job interview at the PBS station. But instead of preparing, Ned spends the night getting hammered. In fact, when Alex comes downstairs for midnight snack, Ned's so desperate for booze that he chugs vanilla extract. Alex tries to reason with his uncle, who throws a tantrum and talks about how his life is washed up, makes a drunken fool of himself at the interview, his socks are in his pockets, and he somehow ends up playing a clarinet. And when the family confronts him, he slaps Alex across the face. Stephen warns, either you get some help or you get the hell out of my house. It's a good thing Elise has the number for Alcoholics Anonymous handy. Very important, Esmeralda.
Wow.
His socks were in his pockets and he plays the clarinet at his interview for the PBS station. I don't remember that. I remember him smacking Alex across the face, though. You would have liked that, Esmeralda.
Why would I like that?
Because it's Michael Keaton. He smacks Michael Keaton across the face on Family Ties. You don't like Michael Keaton on Family Ties.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So getting smacked across the face.
Yeah, but you know.
You'd be cheering for Tom Hanks. Okay. How about this one? And I believe we have a little audio. Dan, we have a little audio for this one? Esmeralda, do you remember when Jesse from Saved by the Bell was addicted to caffeine pills?
Oh, yeah. No, I remember that one.
That was a very special episode of Saved by the Bell.
That's right.
Do we have a little of that?
Pills? You mean you really are taking drugs?
I need them.
Jesse, give me those.
I need them back. I have to sing.
Jesse, you can't sing tonight.
Yes, I can. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
Jesse.
Yeah, man. Powerful stuff.
They did a lot of special episodes on.
Did they?
On Saved by the Bell. There was one where Kelly Kapowski, her parents had hit hard times, and she was really poor, and she couldn't afford a dress to go to homecoming. Prom or something.
Is that Timothy? Tiffany Amberson Thiessen's?
Yes.
Okay.
But she had to hide it because she didn't want to. She had to save face.
Oh boy!
But then they find out. Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Does she go nuts and start screaming and singing?
No, she was just broke.
Yeah.
They just didn't have money.
Caffeine pills. They'll do that to you, man.
There's another one.
Drink one of those monster drinks.
No. No, there was another one where they find out. This is in the college years.
Oh, boy.
It's a Saved by the Bell college years where Slater, A.C. Slater, finds out he's actually Mexican. He did not know. Chicano. But yeah, his dad like changed his last name and he didn't know. And everyone's like, you're clearly
How did he not know? What did he think?
I don't know, because
What did he think his nationality? Did he look in the mirror?
What cracks me up is he's really serious about it because he's fine. He's like, I found out I'm Latino, I'm Chicano.
There's a difference between being Latino and Chicano.
Well, I believe he's Chicano.
Okay.
And then Zach is like, there's a part where he's just kind of like brushing it off. And then at one point, Mario Lopez, AC Slater, gets really mad and he storms off. And then Zach looks into the camera and is like, I thought he was Italian.
You gotta be kidding me. You gotta be kidding me.
But yeah, and then he gets like really into like politics at his college and stuff.
And then Latino culture.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Because, yeah, now he's found out.
He starts listening to War.
Yeah, it was just a weird thing. Like, how do you not know, man? Like,
by the way, the actor's name is Mario Lopez. I don't know if that's if that's a giveaway or not. All right, we got to break. More very special episodes of TV coming up right after the news, which is next. Where the Sultans of Swing. Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiCilio here on 720 WGN. Two for Tuesday, man. Yeah, two for Tuesday. 708 area code requested to Dire Straits. That's Sultans of Swing. Love Dire Straits. And we'll get another Dire Straits song. If you want to get your requests in, one artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. That's also the call. You can call or text your thoughts on some very special television episodes. Every once in a while, you know, like sitcoms will take on some serious subject matters, and they're always advertised as a very serious, very special episode. So, discovered that Saved by the Bell apparently had a bunch of them.
Oh, for sure.
Good. Mario Lopez didn't know he was Mexican.
There was another one where they got, because, you know, they're high school kids. And they got drunk, and they were drinking and driving, and I think they crashed the car. Something happened where the car got hurt. They didn't get hurt, but then
her car got busted.
Right, so it was like a big thing. And
yeah. Saved by the Bell, such an important piece of art. Okay, this next one. Oh my God, I vividly remember the first time I watched this episode and was, made a massive impact. It's an episode of All in the Family. Now, All in the Family never shied away from issues. I mean, that's what basically the whole show was built around, the fact that it would push the envelope and take on topics that most sitcoms and just television shows in general didn't even attempt. That's why All in the Family still to this day holds up and is one of the most groundbreaking and important television shows in the history of the medium. But this one, man, oh man, it's called Edith's 50th Birthday, and it's where she's almost raped. I don't know if you guys remember this episode. Esmeralda, do you remember this episode?
I think they recently played it.
I'll tell you what, if you wouldn't forget it.
I think I only saw part of it.
It's unbelievable. Here's what they say about it. Norman Lear's series found acclaim and won dozens of awards precisely for its envelope-pushing storylines, but there were no laughs during a terrifying installment of All in the Family's penultimate season, when the bunker matriarch was nearly raped while her family unwittingly planned her surprise party next door. The uncharacteristically harrowing hour-long episode explored the denial, depression, and fear stemming from sexual violence, giving Jean Stapleton a chance to remind viewers of her dramatic acting skills. Jean Stapleton was an amazing actress. And I just remember this. Dan, you ever see that episode?
No, I never did.
It is, it's horrifying because, first of all, it's Edith, you know, and one of the sweetest characters that's ever been on television. And then you have this guy who's in the house alone with her, you know, attempting rape, and not in a subtle way and not in any kind of funny way. It was horrifying. And I remember because it goes on, it seemingly goes on forever. You know, like the first half of the show, it was a 1 hour show. The first half of the show was essentially the attack and what happened. And then the second half was her trying to deal with what she had gone through. So it took on the entire topic. I remember let me just say this. The actor who played the assailant is a guy named David Duke. David Duke was a pretty serious actor. He'd been in a bunch of movies. He'd done a bunch of TV. But he said that after he's, I think he's since packed. Dan, can you look him up? It's David Duke. It's not the racist who's plural. It's just David Duke.
Or the other way around. David Dukes is the character actor.
Oh, David Dukes is the character actor? I'm sorry. David Dukes is the character actor, and he passed away, I think.
Yes, 2000.
Oh, wow. Okay. Anyway, David Dukes, after he did this episode, and this is a true story, he couldn't walk down the street without people spitting on him or going after him because he attacked Edith Bunker. He tried to rape Edith Bunker. And he couldn't shake that for a really long time. And was like, you know, it was a very intense role, and it was great to work with Gene Stapleton. But for like years after that, I couldn't even walk down the street without people wanting to kill me because I tried to rape Edith Bunker. But I'll never forget the moment where, because he's got her trapped the entire episode, and he's like holding her down, and he's on top of her at times, and she can't get away, and it seemingly goes on forever. It was excruciating to watch. And then finally, I can't remember what she does. I think she throws boiling water in his face or something. Something like that. She
a
does
cake some, they were baking, according to this.
A cake, and it was like a hot pan or something. It was a hot cake. She smashed him in the face with it and got away. And when she got away, when she finally gets away from him, if you ever watch the rerun again, you hear that studio audience erupt. Like, the whole studio audience just goes nuts. The ceiling almost falls in because they're cheering so loudly. Like, the relief from this insane intensity of watching Edith Bunker being assaulted for, like, 20 minutes. Finally, this thing happens, and she finally gets away. And I'm inside every living room watching that episode that night, the same feeling happened across the country when you're watching that episode. I remember feeling like, you know, oh yes, she got away. And like, if you ever watch the rerun again, and when she does that and gets away from him, I'm telling you, it was the loudest I've ever heard a studio audience in a sitcom ever. But that one, I vividly remember that episode. And then the depression that comes from after what happened, they deal with that. So, yeah, David Dukes, man. You know who else that happened to, Dan? So David Dukes, you know, like people were like, couldn't walk down the street without people, you know, because after he was seen by millions of people as the guy who tried to rape Edith Bunker. Aaron Eckhart was in a movie called In the Company of Men. First, I think it was the first movie ever made. Neil LaBute wrote it. Have you seen it?
No.
Esmeralda, have you seen In the Company of Men?
I haven't.
It's a pretty amazing movie. But Aaron Eckhart plays the biggest bastard on the planet in that movie, who is abusive to everybody. He's racist. He is playing with the emotions of a deaf woman and playing her like a fiddle. It is a really dark. It's Neil LaBute, and Neil LaBute writes that kind of stuff. He writes about the evilness of inside men. But Aaron Eckhart, like, at this point, he was nobody knew who he was. This was like his first movie. He was a stage actor in New York, but nobody knew who he was. So here's this first movie. It becomes a breakout hit. It was an indie film, but it became a hit, and it got a lot of critical praise, and it played all around the country. And he said that he was walking down the street one time in New York. He was going to a show that he was going to be in. Walking down the street, woman came up to him, spit him right in the face. Spit at him in the face and slapped him across the face. And just, you know, like, called him a name and then walked away. And it's really funny because there was a TV commercial that he did. He booked a TV commercial around the same time that In the Company of Men was in theaters. And again, I mean, I'm telling you, he is one of the most despicable characters that you could ever imagine. Who does horrible things to both men and especially women. But anyway, so at the same time, he had, you know, before the movie took off, he booked this commercial, and it was a commercial for pots and pans. It was a commercial for, I can't remember, you know, what the commercial was, the company, but it was for pots and pans and kitchenware. And in the commercial, Aaron Eckhart comes home, and he comes home and everything has been packed up, and his wife or his girlfriend has left. So he comes home to like a mostly empty apartment, like looking around like, oh, my God, she took everything. She left. Oh, my God. And I think, and I don't remember whether there was a note or not or anything. But anyway, he goes in and he sees in the kitchen that the kitchenware is left, like the pots and pans are left. So he's about to make something to eat, you know, it brings a smile to his face after coming home and seeing that his house has been abandoned. Brings a smile to his face, and he's going to cook something. Then all of a sudden the door opens and the woman walks in, and he looks at her like hopefully, and she takes all the pots and pans, put them in a box, and walks out. And when that – and, like, people were cheering that commercial because it was Aaron Eckhart in The Company of Men. People were like, yeah, and she took his pots and pans too. Good. Because he's a jerk, and it's a different thing. He's not the character from In the Company of Men, but people were so affected by, you know, how nasty he was in that movie that even a pots and pan commercial got people. You know, he told this story about how people would meet him in bars and go, "I'm glad that chick took the pots back from you. You don't deserve them." And he's like, "I'm an actor. Do you understand?" Same thing happened to David Dukes in the 70s when he did that episode with Edith. So, all right, very special episodes. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Got a break here for weather and traffic. Yeah. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Two for Tuesday. Hey, Dan, isn't that video all baseball highlights?
I'm watching a lyric video. I'll see if I can find the...
Because I think the entire video is just, if I remember, it's just like... It's all baseball highlights. That's Dire Straits, 708 area code on 2 for Tuesday. 312-981-7200. It's Nick DiGilio on WGN.
You are correct. That and Mark Knopfler in a red headband.
Right. I just remember them, like, they had done Money for Nothing, you know, which was, like, at that point, a very innovative video. You remember that? Remember the video with the very boxy and Esmeralda, you remember Money for Nothing?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, legendary video, but it was like the computer square boxy guys moving furniture and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Very iconic. And then I remember they caught a lot of guff because they followed up their video with that, and it was just baseball highlights. And they're like, wait a minute. These guys are responsible for the greatest, most innovative, imaginative videos of all time, and they take this and they just throw a bunch of baseball highlights on the screen? What in hell? All right, we are talking about very special episodes of sitcoms where they take on serious issues. And we are learning, as we have during part of the morning here, that Saved by the Bell is the most important television show in the history of mankind, as Esmeralda has pointed out.
Very much so.
I'm just fascinated that Mario Lopez didn't know he was Mexican. I had
No, because it's Slater. That's his.
I thought he was Italian.
Yeah, that's what I. Because he kept being like, "What are you going to those meetings for?" and all these things. And then he's like, "Don't you see?" Like, he got really mad because his newfound.
I'm now picturing Mark Paul Glusel Gloose looking in the camera. And I thought he was Italian.
I was thinking he was going to say something worse, but I was like, no, wait, that's funny.
Yeah. Oh, good old Zach. Could Zach stop time? Wasn't he also able to stop time?
Yeah, people would.
Freeze and stuff,
there you
right?
Go, freeze frame.
Time out.
Would do like a timeout, and then everybody would just go, and freeze?
Right.
What is he, a Marvel hero? What is it? He had power over time. Zach did.
I'm sorry, I'm distracted because I'm trying to cue up a clip from Saved by the Bell that's titled "There's No Hope with Dope."
Oh man.
Yeah, you know that's got to be serious, man. Was Nipsey Russell one of the writers on that episode? There's a reference that nobody's going to get except for people who are 50. Esmeralda, do you know who Nipsey Russell is?
I know who Nipsey Russell is, but I don't know what you're talking about.
All he did was rhyme stuff. Nipsey Russell, he was like the poet laureate of stand-up comedians. That was his thing. He would always, ever when he was on a game show, he always do at least two poems. Nipsey Russell. Dan, you remember Nipsey Russell?
I do remember Nipsey Russell.
Yeah. That's why I said that, because you don't get hope with dope or whatever. Whatever. All right. Here's Patrick on WGN. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
All right.
Man, great show. Great topic. While I was on hold, I was thinking Norman Lear really didn't shy away from hardcore topics. I mean, if you think about Good Times, you know, the death when they killed James off.
Oh, man.
And when they introduced Penny, Janet Jackson's character, because remember, she was a victim of child abuse.
That's right.
In the first episode with her, her mother took an iron, even though they didn't show it, but her mother burned her with an iron.
That's right. Yep.
And another top episode was Thelma's boyfriend, who was an alcoholic, would hide the bottle in the bathroom. He'd come in pissed. Excuse my language, sorry. He'd come in angry, go into the bathroom, would come out happy.
Yeah.
And when she busted him, the most shocking part was when he slapped the living hell out of her
right.
on TV, you know.
Yeah, I remember those. I mean, that was like well, first of all, when James died on Good Times, that was, you know, forget it.
Right.
That was heartbreaking when James died. But that episode
rough.
Where they introduced Janet Jackson, and I remember her. I remember the vividly watching that episode where her mother had the hot iron and was going after her. And was going
right.
to, you know, and she was a little girl. Unbelievable.
Right. She's screaming in terror.
Yeah.
Trying to shake the door. I think I was about 10 when that episode came
yeah.
out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Really, yeah. Yeah, it was jarring.
It was,
you
man.
Know? Wow. Important. Like I said, Norman Lear, he didn't shy. Even, didn't he do a breast cancer on Maude?
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, he didn't shy away from that stuff. He really didn't, you know. But I was telling Dan, I don't know if you remember this episode of Different Strokes. It dealt with racism. I think Kimberly had a boyfriend, did not know that she had two adopted brothers, Willis and Arnold. And then when he found out they were black, he had a huge problem with it. And I don't know if it was a special episode, but I remember to get back at him or to teach him a lesson, her, Willis and Arnold came downstairs when he was visiting, and she was in blackface with a wig on.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Okay, you do remember
Oh,
that.
I totally remember that episode. Yes.
That was insane.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You know what? I didn't remember it until you described it. But, yeah, I remember
right.
Dana Plato in blackface.
Right.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
She had the blackface on, had the wig on. They were doing a little shuck and jive.
Oh, man.
No. And she was, I think she was even kind of talk jive. With,
yeah.
You know, just,
yeah. Oh.
It was like, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I remember
yeah.
that. All right. All right, Patrick. Thanks, man.
All right,
take care.
Have a good one.
See ya. Man, oh man. Yeah, you guys remember that episode? It totally just came back to me.
I do not.
With Dana Plato in blackface.
No.
Oh my God.
I just recently saw this, and I had heard about it before, but it was What's Happening?
Yeah.
And where they were illegally recording.
Yeah, the Doobie Brothers.
Yeah.
It's like, I remember that episode because Rerun has like a tape recorder and it falls out during the concert and the Doobie Brothers see it. They're all upset because he's got this tape recorder and he's bootlegging the concert. But here's the question. At no point during any of the pre-existence of that show did you ever think that those guys would be into the Doobie Brothers?
Do they have to be in order to record it and then sell it?
I don't know. No, they were very excited about going to the concert. They were very excited about the Doobies. These are the last characters on television who should be interested in going to see the Doobie Brothers. All right, yeah. That was great. All right, we got a break here. We got the news coming up, and then we'll talk more about very special episodes of TV right after this. Welcome back. Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, and then the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Tuesday, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah. That 773 area code requested Redbone, Come and Get Your Love. Redbone had two hits? I remember Come and Get Your Love. I'm trying to remember the other one. All right. Well, we'll hear it. Also coming up in just a little bit, an unfortunate Blackhawks Express, where the Hawks blew a three-goal lead to lose in overtime, 5-4, and we will have the Blackhawks Express from last night's game. That's coming up as well. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text if you would like to join us, because we are talking about very serious episodes of TV. And we got some texts that have come in. And again, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Brian the Gov, hey Gov, says, if you want to see some messed up shows, watch 90210. Date rape, drug use, cutting, suicide, all kinds of stuff. Wow. 765 area code, what about All in the Family when Sammy Davis Jr. is a special guest? That is such a great episode. That is a phenomenal episode. 708 area code, Mr. Belvedere, Wesley accosted by his camp counselor. What's going on there, Dan?
Inappropriate touching.
And who was Wesley one of the kids?
Wesley was the young, the youngest, Bob Uecker's son.
Bob Uecker's son.
Who the kid that Mr. Belvedere watched over.
Okay. And Mr. Belvedere was the big British dude, right, with the mustache?
That's correct.
Okay.
Do to China. Who cares? That was the theme song.
Oh, I just thought you. I thought you just had a stroke or something. I never watched it.
It's a weird show.
It seemed weird.
It's like, why do they need a butler? You can't take care of themselves.
What's going on there? Oh.
Streaks on the china, never mattered before.
It's the weirdest theme.
Who cares when you drop kicked your jacket as you came through the door? No one glared, but sometimes things get turned around and no one spared. All hands look out below. There's a change in the status quo. Gonna need all the help that we can get. According to our new arrival, life is more than mere survival. We just might live the good life yet.
What the hell is that?
That was the theme song.
Who's the artist?
Who knows?
I will look that up.
Ragtime Johnny. I don't know.
I love that. What the hell was that? That made no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, it makes no sense. They kind of had a special episode, too, where the teenage boy, he starts going on dates.
Yeah.
Like paid dates.
Oh, like a gigolo?
Yeah, he's an escort. But he's not doing anything, and he's just going on dates with all these older women. And one of them, like, he forms a bond with her, and then at one point she's like, marry me! I don't want anything from you. I just like your company, and you can have all my money. It was just weird.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you remember the one that was just Wesley accosted by his camp counselor?
No.
Okay.
There's another one where Mr. Belvedere got kidnapped.
What?
Yeah, he was kidnapped for like a day or two. Someone like, she wanted him for herself.
Wait a minute. She wanted.
Yeah, and he was tied up.
Clean? What?
No, I think she wanted like to keep him in her home. Like she loved him, I think. Or she did just want him to stay and like keep her company.
And clean.
I think it was more to keep her company, but.
Leon Redbone is responsible.
Was that Leon Redbone? Yes. I thought that it sounded like Leon Redbone, but I didn't want to believe it was Leon Redbone. By the way, and what's our 2 for Tuesday artist right now?
Just Redbone.
Whoa.
Come and get your love now. Did I just blow your mind?
Yeah. Just
937 area code says, how about the WKRP serious episode with the concert in Cincinnati where people died? Yes. I remember that. It was right after
the Stones?
The Who. It was the Who in Cincinnati where all the people,
oh, okay.
Where people died.
Oh, I'm thinking the one with Hell's Angels.
No, that was a long time ago. That was
even longer ago?
Yeah.
Than the Who one?
The Who was in 1981, I want to say. Oh. 80 or 81. Altamont was 69.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And if you've never seen Gimme Shelter, one of the best music documentaries ever made. It's it they were just going to make the idea of Gimme Shelter, the two brothers who made the film. They were just like, okay, it's going to be a free concert. It's going to be this year's Woodstock. So they decided that they were going to document it.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole bunch of bands were supposed to play. And then all hell broke loose.
Yeah.
But they just happened to be there with cameras. So, like, some amazing documentaries, they just, you know, stumbled upon it. Like, it wasn't supposed to happen. It was supposed to be a simple concert movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then they captured murder on film.
Oh, gosh.
Everything. It's an unbelievable movie. Gimme Shelter. Yeah. My friend and I were actually going to adapt it to the stage. And we were going to do it, the stage would have been, like, the point of view of the audience. If you're in the audience, you would have been on the stage. And we were going to have everything planned, you know, like, everything that happened in the crowd in the first, like, 20 rows.
Oh, okay. I see.
You were, like, on the stage watching what happened, what developed. And we did rehearsals and stuff where we actually had Harleys ride in.
Oh, my gosh.
Into the theater.
Okay.
Yeah. My friend Steve and I, we ran it. We didn't get enough money to do it because we had like a huge.
I mean, yeah, that sounds.
Yeah, we had Harleys come in. At one point, we had two Harleys actually. During a rehearsal, we had 30 people like doing. We were reenacting the stuff that was happening in Gimme Shelter, and then we opened up. This was the viaduct.
Okay.
Remember the viaduct, the big space in the viaduct.
Yeah.
Not the small when you first walk in.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of the bar, that big space.
Yeah.
All right, you know they had that big like garage sliding door.
No, but I remember
at the far at the
big
yeah
enough.
We were using that space and at the big garage door.
Yeah,
we had it fly open at one point and just guys with two guys with Harleys and we wanted to do like six or seven Harleys.
And that stage was the audience was up, weren't they?
Well, the stage was really low. The stage at Altamont. The stage was dangerously low.
No, but I mean,
it depends on
the theater.
It was an empty space. When we were doing it,
okay. Because if they remember, there were seats.
Yeah, well,
they were kind of high up.
Yeah, they did have bleachers and stuff, but you could move them around. Like you could do anything you wanted in that space. You could really do a lot of stuff. A lot of theater stuff did it in the round.
Yeah.
But we were only rehearsing, and we never opened the show. Damn it!
It's all empty now.
Yeah, and it's not. It wasn't called the. What did they change it to?
It's now called Constellation.
Constellation, right?
And they don't do theater there.
Yeah. That was a great space, man.
It's still.
And I used to go over to your alma mater there, the Hungry Brain, all the time. here's Mark on WGN. Hey, Mark. Oh, wait a minute. That's not Mark.
Yep.
Hold on a second. this is Mark. Hey, Mark.
Greetings from Cleveland.
Yeah.
How you doing, Nick?
What's up?
Well, I just want to remind you of another All in the Family very special episode. Remember Archie is branded?
Archie's what?
Archie is branded. That's the one where...
Oh, yeah, where they put the swastika on the door?
Yeah, and it turns out that this neo-Nazi group intended to brand his neighbor, who's a Jewish activist, and then this other hardcore Jewish activist who's played by Gregory Sierra,
leader
of Bernie Miller, he gets involved, and anyway, the last episode, words of the episode are... Holy gee, that's Paul. They blew him up in his car.
Yeah, they blow the car up at the end of the episode. Yeah. Yeah, that one was on actually a few weeks ago, Mark. It was on. They repeated that one actually a few weeks ago, and I watched it. Amazing episode.
I'm sorry I missed it. I'd love to see it again.
Yeah. Okay, Mark, thanks, man.
Have a good
Take
one.
Take care.
Was Good Times never just a silly show?
Yeah, it was.
Because every time I watch Good Times, and it's probably like three times a week, it's funny, but you know, there's always an issue.
Like, no, for the most part, especially the earlier episodes, like after Florida left, and it was Winona, like living there and all that stuff. It got sillier and sillier,
but
there was always some sort of social commentary, even if it was silly.
Always.
And we were describing earlier, Janet Jackson as a little girl whose mother goes after her with a hot iron.
Yeah. I mean, I watched, the ones I've watched, there was one about the smaller kid.
Michael?
He was already going to college and he was going to move in with this girl as just roommates, but she was white and they were going to, they didn't approve and there was this whole thing.
No, there's an issue probably on 90% of the episodes of Good Times.
Yeah, just thinking about that, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
They're all very special episodes.
They're all very special. Yeah, it's true. And how about this? Wasn't there an after-school special with Ben Affleck on steroids?
On what show? On Family Ties?
An after-school special. Do you remember after-school specials? Like
no,
the AB?
I think I missed them.
Yeah, I think you're too young. But the ABC after-school special was always, it was like, it was on at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And it was like half an hour long. And it was always like, look at Johnny's on dope.
Oh,
and then
boy.
They would. Like every episode was that. It was
who was the one? I mean, I've seen this on like I Love the 70s or whatever, where someone jumps. She's an actress now, a celebrity. She jumps out of a window.
Helen Hunt. Yeah.
She does.
She goes crazy
LSD
on LSD or something.
Yeah.
And she does Helen Hunt.
The window.
Yeah, Helen Hunt. All right, we got a break, and we've got a Blackhawks Express to play, and then we'll come back and wrap all this up here on WGN. Okay, we're still talking about the. Very special TV episode. It's got a couple calls. Here's Mary Kay on WGN. Hey, Mary. Mary Kay.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Dave. I just wanted to make a commentary about Mr. Belvedere and his song. It was about, you know, in the 90s, we had all those single parents who had to have a full butler living housekeeper kind of thing. And he was a sloppy sports writer, I think he was, Bob Uecker. And then Mr. Belvedere came along and taught him finesse that life has to go through. You go through life with finesse, not just living.
See,
so
all right.
Nobody had a wife.
Yeah, right.
Nobody ever had a wife. Everybody was single parents, and so yeah.
No, he did have a wife.
Housekeeper. He did have a wife.
Yeah, she was just she was like going. She's going to law school to be a lawyer,
okay.
So she couldn't. She had no time to cook.
So that's why they have a living house.
That's why they have Mr. Belvedere.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Mary Kay. Thank you. Take care. Leon Redbone, everybody. Here's Carl on WGN. Hey, Carl.
Hey, hi. MASH had that racism incident where their major from played by Tom Atkins kept his guys, and Lawrence Fishburne was there.
That's right.
As the guy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, yeah. MASH had a lot of serious episodes. At one point, it just became serious. Every episode became serious one point.
Yeah. Hey, wasn't there an after school movie or something called Fallen Angel about that child pornography thing?
Maybe. We'd have to look it up. You know, I actually do. We have like I have in one of my drawers over here. I actually have the master list of after-school specials because we talked about them a couple of years ago. So we'll have to find out. We'll have to find out if that's a thing.
They all have really great names.
Oh, fantastic names. Yeah, fantastic. Let's find out what's coming up at the opening bell here. Steve. Hey, Steve.
Good morning.
Morning.
Kudos, man. A master list of after-school specials. That's awesome.
Well, we were talking about it a couple of years ago, and I wanted to have the list in front of me. So
yeah. And the earlier caller, she may have been talking about The Nanny, because The Nanny, remember that show with Fran Drescher?
I unfortunately do.
He was not married, right?
Yeah, he was single.
He was single.
Yeah.
So it's easy to be confused.
He did not show finesse to him, though.
Coming up next on the opening bell, we're going to be talking a little bit about filing your taxes electronically. There's a danger there. Obviously, lots of scams, people being taken advantage of, cyber attacks as well. We'll tell you what you need to know to keep things safe. A little later in the program, too, we'll tell you about the number of billionaires is up in the U.S. We'll talk with the people at Forbes who put the list together, all next on the opening bell.
Thank you, Steve.
Have a great day.
You too.
All right.
All right, I just want to close with this last description, Dan, and it's Family Matters, a very special episode of Family Matters. Let me just read the synopsis to you. Dan, you've already read this, correct?
Yes.
After Laura is robbed by some gang members over a jacket, she decides to buy a gun for protection. Just as Laura is about to make the purchase, the gang leader shoots her best friend, and Laura realizes that it's a bad idea. At the end of the episode, Laura and her friends hold a drive for people to turn in their guns without getting in trouble while Urkel performs a rap.
I'm really interested in hearing this rap.
I don't even know what to say there. I really am. That's all right. That's the way to end the show. We're ending on a high note, baby.
Very special
episode.
Yeah.
Contact Dumont for this with the whole 3 hours, Dan.
Ice House, Urkel Wraps.
That's right. This is a very special episode. We'll see you tomorrow, Esmeralda.
See ya.
Jerry from Parks and Rec is going to be here. All right, we'll take a break.